We do, we have a kind of a contract with them, with those orchestras, so they help us, they do some concerts for us, and we give back to them some gala concerts nights in our hall, so they don't have to pay for the hall. They have their own season series in our hall, and then they do some pedagogical or educational concerts for the orchestra, for our organization, for the foundation. So it's a kind of exchange, which is a win-win game for everybody, and we keep those orchestras also busy, and they have some significance in the city. So it's a very complex but good setup for that situation.
In this country, we complain all the time about, oh, the Arts Council are cutting the budget, or the government's cutting the budget for this. Is it easy to get the money
from the government?
Yeah.
It's never easy to say to get the money from the government, but I think the orchestra has the orchestra is the most important project from the Secretary of Culture in São Paulo. We have some goals that we have to achieve for them. Give some number of concerts, so we have to publish Brazilian music, commission pieces for Brazilian composers. So we have several goals to achieve every year, and when we achieve them, those points, those goals, we are eligible to have more support.
Kathy?
I was just going to say, it sounds remarkably similar to the way it works here, so I think there are a lot of similarities.
One thing, though, that's unique, which is that instead of being a victim of a change in political regime, the way the funding works, they've structured it so that it works across changeovers in government. So that what happens is that the funding crosses the presidential election by a couple of years, so that it can't become, I mean, one of the things that is alarming me very much in Europe is that watching some governments change and then suddenly come in and cut all of the arts by 60% because it becomes a political football.
Let's talk about the makeup of the orchestra, Marin, in terms of its players, who are, I think, more than two-thirds Brazilian. Marcelo was telling me earlier on there's a one-soul Brit who's an oboist, is that right?
He's an oboe player, yeah.
One oboe player from Britain who's delighted to be back here at the Royal Albert Hall just for this brief visit. But because of the level of music education in Brazil, a lot of the players have gone abroad to conservatories in America, in Europe. Does that mean that the orchestra might lack sort of unified sound that sometimes we expect from European or North American orchestras?
No, I mean, I think in today's climate of globalization, I don't think, you know, very few orchestras really project a monochromatic, you know, vision of sound. And I think the more diversity you have, the more potential you have to create a broader landscape, broader palette in what you do. So I think having, I mean, the vast majority of players are Brazilian, and they bring a multitude of experiences to the table. So I think it plays well to the country, this sense of melting pot. You know, there isn't the same kind of delineation in America, you know, where we all say, well, I'm Irish-American, and then, you know, well, you're African-American, you're Chinese-American. And in Brazil, everyone's Brazilian. You know, this is it's a different kind of embrace and ownership of belonging. And I feel that in the orchestra as well, that regardless of where you originated or where you studied, you know, we're all part of this incredible orchestra.
So what are you setting out to do musically to move the orchestra up in terms of its international reputation?
Well, I mean, my goals are the same, whether I'm with the Bournemouth Symphony or in Sao Paulo, which is to try to bring the best out of the musicians and create a working environment that's incredibly productive but also demanding, and raise the artistic and technical level as high as I can, and give the orchestra a sense of happening. You know, every time we play a piece of music, that we're trying to capture the sound world and the intention of that composer. I don't really, people ask me about specific qualities about orchestras, but I think if you know an orchestra, I mean, I'm thinking of the old days when you think about the Philadelphia Orchestra, the string sound, or Chicago brass, but I think that's very limiting, because then you have to have the same Philadelphia string sound whether you play Mozart or you play Mahler. I think a great orchestra today is an orchestra that is sounds like the great Mahler orchestra when you're playing Mahler, and a great Mozart orchestra when you're playing Mozart. So for me, it's all about versatility and trying to address any weaknesses. And I think it for every orchestra, you know, the challenge is always to be able to maximize your acoustic environment, be flexible, have incredible rhythmic integrity, shared rhythmic integrity, and a sense about the piece that you're performing together that brings you into that narrative that the composer intended. So, I mean, that's what I do wherever I go, and it feels the same. Having the opportunity tonight to debut here at the Prom is it feels really special, and it's nice to be with musicians who feel the, I think, the special quality of the evening. And I never saw so many musicians taking pictures at a rehearsal as today. It was great. And then the Brazilian flag was, you know, up on the digital display, and they were taking pictures of each other. It was really touching. I just wanted to share the secret with people that if you look really hard during the Hinastera, I've talked our executive director into playing with the orchestra one more time. So he'll be in the trumpet section, but don't tell anyone, okay? And it sounded good today, so yeah. I don't want to jinx him, though.
I hope I don't spoil the concert.
No, it'll be great.
Well, Marcelo, we better let you go and warm up, I think. Thank you very much indeed to all of my guests, Kathy Graham, Director of Music at the British Council, Marcelo Lopez, Executive Director of the Sao Paulo Symphony Orchestra, and Marin Alsop, the orchestra's new Chief Conductor. Thank you.
Thank you.
Tonight's Proms Plus was introduced by Petrop Trelawney. Well, welcome back to the Royal Albert Hall and this BBC prom that sees the São Paulo Symphony Orchestra making their proms debut under Marin Alsop. Latin American rhythms abound as Brazilian-born pianist Nelson Freire is the soloist in Momo Precoce by Villa-Lobos, capturing the colours and sounds of the children's carnival that runs alongside the Rio Mardi Gras. And then we're heading out into the Pampas for the Estancia Suite, taken from the ballet by Alberto Ginastera. You might like to think of it as the Argentine answer to Aaron Copland's Rodeo. And it's Copland's music that opens the second half of this prom, his well-known Fanfare for the Common Man, followed directly by the Fanfare for the Uncommon Woman, number one, by Joan Tower. It's the American composer's feminist response to Copland's piece, composed in 1986 and more recently dedicated to Marin Alsop, who's recorded it and four more fanfares by Joan Tower with the Colorado Symphony Orchestra. Well, at the moment, there's no members of the orchestra on stage, just the brass and percussion are going to be coming on shortly to play these two opening fanfares for the second half. Joan Tower has gone on to compose four more fanfares following the first that we're going to hear. It was commissioned by the Houston Symphony Orchestra to mark the 150th anniversary of Texas, in Texas's brief guise as an independent state. Well, that applause greets the brass players, the horn players, the trumpets, the trombones and tuba, and the percussion players. And Marin Alsop is also on stage to begin part two with Copland's Fanfare for the Common Man. Erin Copeland's Fanfare for the Common Man, swiftly answered by that Fanfare for the Uncommon Woman, number one by Joan Tower, dedicated to the woman conducting tonight's prom, Marin Alsop, principal conductor of the San Paolo Symphony Orchestra. Joan Tower's piece using the same scoring as Copeland's. As she started her career as a composer in the 1960s, she found herself adding a feminist twist. Well, from North to South America is where we're heading for the rest of tonight's prom. São Paulo is a bustling city, the biggest in the Southern Hemisphere and the Americas, and it was the birthplace of the man who joins the orchestra next, the pianist Nelson Freire. He gave his first public appearance when he was five, but his passport to international fame came when he won the Rio de Janeiro International Piano Competition in 1957 at the age of 12. The prom is here, greeting the arrival of the piano on stage here at the Royal Albert Hall. Well, it's the city of Rio that provides the inspiration for the music that Nelson Freire is going to play by the Brazilian composer Heitor Villa-Lobos. One of the fringe events surrounding the famous Rio Carnival is a children's carnival, and the colourful sights and sounds inspired Villa-Lobos to write a piano suite, Carnaval das Crianças Brasileiras, in 1919. 10 years later, he arranged it for piano and orchestra under the title Momo Precoce, Momo being king of the carnival, and Precoce meaning kids, which leaves the translation pretty much up to you as to whether it's Momo who's a child king or whether it's Momo's children we're celebrating. But either way, what Villa-Lobos presents are 8 vignettes featuring stock carnival characters amongst wider vistas that are throbbing with the hubbub of the festival. I asked a couple of players in the orchestra whether they'd been to the carnival themselves.
How can you not go to the carnival? Everyone should do it once in their life, at least. I've done it once and walking on the avenue, or participating in the actual carnival. The whole country just vibrates. There's a rhythm. And it seems like everybody, it's kind of the same rhythm, independently of what school they are. There are different words, but it's the same rhythm, and it goes on all day and all night. And it's very ecstatic feeling. And it seems like the whole city vibrates together, pulsates. You feel it even stronger than normally. It's really it's an amazing feeling. It's like ecstasy at 6 a.m.
I mean, it is really incredible. I mean, the colors, actually, as well as the rhythms, you know, hit you as you're watching the parades of the different, you know, displays and exhibitions going by. And I think that the music, for sure, captures that, as most of the Brazilian repertoire do. I have to admit, I've become quite a fan, even though our orchestra plays a lot of traditional repertoire, but the infusion of the Brazilian orchestral repertoire has been wonderful.
Violinist Anka Gavris and bass trombone Darren Milling. Well, the 8 sections of Momo Precoce are Piero's Little Horse, The Little Devil's Whip, Pierrette's Mood, volatile, as you might imagine, Little Domino's Bell, for which read Red Riding Hood and Maracas, and then the pace slows for the mysterious adventures of the little ragman. It picks up again for practical jokes by a little masker, which is Till Eulenspiegel Brazilian style. There's a sweet and haunting melody from the little jester's shepherd's pipe before the piece culminates in the tumult of the children's procession. I thought I'd better explain that Momo is an important figure whose arrival at the carnival signifies that the fun is about to begin, and the role is usually given to a man of large physical size. There's a competition to choose him. He has to be good at dancing samba and have an ability to whip up the crowd. At this year's carnival in Rio, the mayor of the city, Eduardo Paes, who you'll have seen at the closing ceremony of the Olympics, gave King Momo the key to the city, an outsized golden key studded with gleaming diamante. Well, Momo originated in Greek mythology. He was the son of sleep and the night, who was expelled from Mount Olympus for being a bit of a joker and making fun of the other gods. Well, the members of the São Paulo Symphony Orchestra are on stage now, the piano lid raised and gleaming, waiting for the arrival of Nelson Freire. He's 67 years old. He has an acclaimed discography, including most recently a set of Chopin nocturnes and a live performance from Switzerland with Marta Argerich. That's been nominated for a Grammy. And he also has a new CD out chronicling 3 generations of Brazilian music. And here he comes, together with Marin Alsop, to take the solo piano part in Momo Precoce, by Heitor Villalobos.
Thank you.
Nelson Freire, the soloist with the São Paulo Symphony Orchestra, conducted by Marin Alsop, in Momo Precoce by the Brazilian composer Heitor Villa-Lobos. It's first Brahms performance here at the Royal Albert Hall this evening. Villa-Lobos died in 1959 before South American composers were really taken seriously in Britain. Happily now we're a little more open-minded, especially when Brazil has such musical ambassadors, as are in evidence this evening. The members of the São Paulo Symphony Orchestra applauding Nelson Freire as he returns to the front of the platform. Marin Alsop greeted him with a warm embrace at the end of that performance. He's going to be playing with the orchestra again in Wiesbaden in just a couple of days' time, and then he's heading off to the piano festival at Roque d'Anterron in France. And coming onto the platform once again, this time with Marin Alsop. And she leads the applause. All the strings of the orchestra tapping their music desks, as Marin Alsop indicates, for various of the wind section to stand. Lots for the wind to do in that piece. That shades of Stravinsky at times. I thought sometimes the Shrovetide Fair at St. Petersburg, which features in Petrushka, sprang to mind as we were celebrating Shrovetide, the Mardi Gras in Rio. Well, to end tonight's prom, music by Alberto Ginastera, who's regarded as Argentina's most distinguished composer of the 20th century. He blazed a trail for subsequent composers from his home country to make their names internationally. Astor Piazzolla was a star pupil. Ginastera drew inspiration from native rhythms, dances and folk tunes of the Argentine, and especially from the lives and music of the gauchos, the cowboys of the Pampas, Argentina's wide-open plains. The orchestra is going to play the suite based on his muscular ballet of 1941, Estancia. It's music the São Paulo Symphony Orchestra are very much at home with and keen to show off to the wider musical world. I asked violinist Anka Gavris and trombonist Darren Milling whether, since Marin Alsop has taken over as their music director, the orchestra has changed.
Yes, I think it's changed in many ways, and it's continuing to change. There are some things that it will be a while, but I think she's going to change it for the better. Yeah, there is some kind of work that we needed, because the São Paulo Orchestra, one of the good points about it is very, very international, and there are very, very different schools of playing, even for the violins I'm speaking about, but in general, all the instruments too. And so for us, that's a talent, because it has its own sound, the São Paulo, which is a great sound, and I love it. It's very passionate, and we have a very, very individual way of playing, and somehow it just works. But we needed the kind of work that's more trying to be on the same level. And Marin is very, very good at doing that.
And I would just add that the arrival of Maestro Alsop is, you know, I've been in the orchestra for 14 years, actually. This is my 14th season, and I find that what's great about working with her is that she has an integrity. The way that she conducts in Europe or in the United States is the same way that she conducts in South America. Not always. We have a resident conductor in that part of the world that maintains that stature, and she does all the time, 100% of the time, and I'm just really amazed and really glad to have her.
Anka Gavris and Darren Milling, seasoned musicians in a São Paulo Symphony Orchestra, reflecting on their new principal conductor. And clearly, that respect and warmth of feeling between players and conductor is mutual. Marin Alsop.
Everyone involved is a Renaissance person. They have many, many interests, many talents, from being published authors and experts in this. My executive director, he's actually going to play on the Ginastera tonight. He's second trumpet in the orchestra, but he's also a lawyer, and he is now a fantastic executive director. I mean, this is the kind of people they are. They're Renaissance people, as I said, and very engaged in being alive, which I think, for me, is rejuvenating. It's a wonderful experience. So I learn something from them every day.
And tell me about the Ginastera. Is it a piece that you knew before?
Well, the Estancia is a piece that I know. I haven't done it often, but a couple of times. And these are four dances from the entire suite. And each one has a programmatic context. So the first movement is called the, I think it translates into the agricultural workers, which sounds very banal, but it's got a lot of cross rhythms going on, lots of hemials, two against three, and you feel that vibrancy. The second movement is the lyrical moment in the piece, and it's called the wheat dance, which is a duet really between flute and the horns. And then the third movement is all about the cattle ranchers, and so Ginastera scores it in the depths of the orchestra, so it's the low horns and the low strings, and that's got a lot of cross rhythms, lots of sevens and fives. And then the last movement is Malambo, which is a dance, it's sort of like a dance-off always, you know, a dance contest, but it reminds me very much of the Tarantella, you know, where people go berserk from dancing, and that hopefully will stir up the crowd with this.
Does it give you the opportunity to really let your hair down?
Oh, yeah, it's a lot of fun. And they go wild, the orchestra. They just love it.
Marin Alsop. Well, members of the orchestra are coming onto the platform. Absolutely full now, every seat occupied. Ginastera's ballet Estancia was a 30-minute one-actor. It was composed originally for Lincoln Kirstein's American Ballet Caravan, who were touring Latin America just before the start of the war. One of the company's best-known commissions was Copland's Billy the Kid. Ginastera's ballet was composed before Copland's other cowboy ballet, Rodeo, and it shares a similar story. Ginastera took as his source an epic poem by José Fernández that traces a city boy's efforts to win the affections of a country girl by proving himself as a rancher. Well, in the event, American Ballet Caravan didn't survive long enough to perform Ginastera's ballet, and it had to wait another decade for its premiere. So Ginastera sensibly used the music to create this concert hall suite. And just to remind you, the four movements are the Farm Labourers, Morning Dance of the Wheat, the Cattlemen of the Hacienda, and Malambo. And it's some of South America's most exciting music. Again, it's been compared to early Stravinsky. It's certainly raw and exciting. Incidentally, if you'd like to watch this prom, the cameras are in evidence here at the hall tonight. It's going to be broadcast on Saturday night at 8 o'clock over on BBC Two. And that applause greets the arrival of Marin Alsop, bringing the members of the San Paolo Symphony Orchestra to their feet and shaking hands with their leader, Emanuele Baldini, before turning to conduct the Estancia Suite by Alberto Ginastera. ending with a flourish, Marin Alsop and the San Paolo Symphony Orchestra in the Estancia Suite from the ballet by Alberto Ginastera, a piece inspired by the lives of gauchos on the Pampas. The diminutive figure of Marin Alsop leaping into the air at various times as she was conducting that piece. She's now back and encouraging the principal wind players to stand, and the brass. Once again, a full row of brass and the percussion players. The rest of the wind. And picking out next, the keyboard player and the strings. And just listen to that reception here at the Royal Albert Hall. The orchestra making their debut here this evening and being greeted with at least one Brazilian flag being waved in the arena. Marin Alsop, MD of the Baltimore Symphony Orchestra in 2007, longtime principal conductor of the Bournemouth Symphony Orchestra, now their conductor emeritus. She won the Royal Philharmonic Society Conductor of the Year Award in 2002, and in 2006 received the Radio 3 Listeners Award. And listen to her reception here this evening as principal conductor of the São Paulo Symphony Orchestra.
Amigos do Brasil, aquele abraço. We have a special encore for you tonight from the northeast of Brazil. It's a dance called a frevo. This one's by Edu Lobo. I hope you enjoy it. Thank you. Thank you.
de vento, gust of wind, the third movement of the Suite Popular Brasileira by Edu Lobo. One of the things that has really endeared Marin Alsop to this orchestra is her enthusiastic attempts to speak Portuguese. She started learning almost as soon as she arrived, and the players are telling me just how impressed they've been by that. And Marin Alsop quick to bring to their feet Alexandre Silverio and José Arion Linares, the bassoon players and the clarinetist Ovenir Boosi, who stood up for their solos. And I think the audience here at the Royal Albert Hall want to hear more. Marin Alsop coming back onto the platform, encouraging all of the players to stand. And patting shoulders of the leader, Emanuele Baldini. Quite some debut for the orchestra. They're off on a mini European tour. They're going to be performing at Aldra, at Wiesbaden, and at the Concertgebouw in Amsterdam before heading back across the Atlantic. But that's where we leave them this evening. So it's back now to Broadcasting House.
Louise, thank you. Louise Fryer there at the Royal Albert Hall. And ways of hearing that prom again include the iPlayer online for the next 7 days. There'll also be a chance to hear the prom broadcast again here on Radio 3 on Thursday, the 30th of August at 2 in the afternoon. Well, tomorrow night live at the Hall is Vaughan Williams Night, the BBC Scottish Symphony Orchestra with conductor Andrew Manzi in three Vaughan Williams symphonies, his fourth, fifth and sixth, music that chronicles our national life in the troubled times of the 1930s and 40s. And during the prom's interval, composer Anthony Payne presents an anthology of unexpected readings about Ralph Vaughan Williams, including letters, private papers and reviews. That's tomorrow night's prom, live from the Royal Albert Hall, here on BBC Radio 3, starting at 7:30. As for Friday night...
Music is everywhere. You just have to have the ears to hear it. The words of John Cage, who was born 100 years ago. The BBC Proms marks Cage's centenary with music played from every corner of the Royal Albert Hall. Ilan Volkov curates and conducts an evening of John Cage at the BBC Proms. Live on Radio 3 this Friday night from 7:45.
Well, in the spotlight later on tonight, Percy Grainger. Aspects of Grainger is the subject of the essay this week in the Radio 3 Evenings. And tonight, Penelope Thwaites, pianist, writer on music and editor of the new Percy Grainger Companion, looks at Grainger the Man. That's the essay here on BBC Radio 3 at 10:45 tonight. Before it, at 10:15, Spanish Song. The composers are Mompou and Granados, from Radio 3 new generation artist Clara Muriz. And right now, back to the Brazilian Villa-Lobos. Villa-Lobos mixing Bach-like idioms with Brazilian ones. This is the ninth and last of his Bachianas Brasileiras, what Villa-Lobos called an orchestra of voices for this, the music from 1945. He later made a version for string orchestra, and that's how the piece is usually played, but these are Villa-Lobos' original thoughts, to my ears, far more striking and probably a good deal more challenging too for the performers, that is. The chorus is divided in parts into eight parts, with a second movement that's a syncopated fugue, just for good measure, in an 11-beat rhythm. The brave souls singing it here, the BBC singers, conducted by Odalina de la Martinez. And it's the most Bach-like of the Bachianas Brasileiras, also one of the most abstract. No Brazilian bird calls, tropical forests or even local dances. But before that fugue, a brief prelude, in effect, a rhapsodic fantasy.
Thank you. La 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 la
Villa-Lobos, the ninth and last of his Bacchianas Brasileiras. Fascinating to hear a sung swung fugue written a couple of decades before Ward Swingle had a similar idea. That is to say, the rarely heard original version of the ninth Bacchianas Brasileiras. The performers there, the BBC singers, conducted by Odaline de la Martinez. Well, that music from 1945, to follow it, a Villa-Lobos piece from 1921 called simply Quartet. The scoring here, flute, alto sax, celesta, harp and female voices, though they don't appear until the middle movement of the three. The BBC singers and Odaline de la Martinez, joined here by members of the ensemble Lontano. piece from 1921 by the Brazilian Heitor Villa-Lobos, and it's called Quatuor, the French word for quartet. The performers there, members of the group Lontano, with the BBC singers. Well, the BBC Proms aren't the only live events here on Radio 3 at the moment. Jamie McDougall explains.
3 weeks of music on BBC Radio 3 from the Edinburgh International Festival. Every weekday morning at 11 o'clock, we'll be hearing from a stellar lineup of musicians, including Sir Thomas Allen, Leifova Atsnes, Rebecca Evans, John Williams and John Etheridge, Clay Williams and the Australian Chamber Orchestra. And on Friday, the violinist Leonidas Kavakos and the brilliant Russian pianist Nikolai Lugansky team up to bring us a recital of sonatas by Janáček, Brahms, Stravinsky and Respighi. Our week from Edinburgh continues live on Friday morning at 11 o'clock on BBC Radio 3.
And if you missed Sir Thomas Allen and Trio Zimmermann earlier on in the week, just a reminder, you can listen again in high-definition sound from the Radio 3 homepage. This is BBC Radio 3. It's a little after a quarter past ten. Time now for New Generation Artists with Clemency Burton-Hill.
Welcome to this latest BBC New Generation Artists programme, and the second featuring the glorious voice of mezzo-soprano Clara Muirith. If you were listening a couple of weeks ago, you'll have heard Clara singing an afternoon of French songs. Today we're focusing on her native Spanish. Clara is with me in the studio today. Clara, how important is it for you to explore the Spanish song repertoire?
It is very important because they are probably the songs that I explore the best. It's how I learn to sing. So somehow I feel it very, very inside.
We're going to hear you singing Granados' Tonadillas. Are these songs that you've known for a long time? Have they been in your repertoire for years?
Somehow they are the kind of songs that you cannot recall when you listen to them for the first time. They have always been there somehow. I studied in Madrid, and this cycle, these tonadillas, describe very much that old Madrid from the beginning of last century. And it's very, very nice for me to be able to sing them.
For non-Spanish audiences, the works might not be quite so familiar. Certainly we don't hear as much Spanish song as we do, say, German Lieder. Tell us what we can expect.
Well, Granados is a composer that he established the Spanish art song, and somehow it's a Spanish answer to Lieder. And we can find all the Spanish harmonies and the piano, the Spanish piano, the sound of the guitar somehow, and lots of fire.
Now, the eight songs of Tonadillas are not exactly a song cycle, but they are linked in quite compelling ways. Can you tell us a little bit more about what the songs are about?
Well, they are very descriptive of certain situations. They are stories about majas and majos, that they are the young girls and the young men of Madrid. And they are somehow very close to painting as well. Granados was himself a very good painter and a big admirer of Goya. In fact, he owned some of his works. And some of the songs actually describe specific situations, imaginary situations with the painter, with Goya.
Now, we're going to hear you being accompanied by Joseph Middleton, the pianist who you've worked a lot with on your time on the BBC New Generation Artist scheme. But the last song we're going to hear from this selection, Maja Dolorosa, features Nicholas Daniel on the cor anglais. How did that come about?
Well, this song is very, very different to the other ones of the Tonadillas. It's very rarely performed with cor anglais. And we thought, Joseph and I, that it would be a fantastic opportunity to do it in this occasion. So we asked Nicolas to join us, and he was fantastic, and he said yes right away. And it has been a fantastic experience, because actually the description of this song is just a sudden encounter with death. It's a woman who finds her lover dead. And the way that this recording happened, it has been that sudden as well. We recorded in one track, and it was a fantastic encounter between the three of us, between Joseph, Nicolas and I, and somehow a little bit magical, a little bit surprising. And I hope that the recording kept a little bit of that surprise.
Well, let's hear a little bit of that magic, that surprise now. We'll have to wait until the eighth and final song from this selection to hear Nicholas Daniel's cor anglais. But before that, let's sit back and enjoy mezzo-soprano Clara Muirith and pianist Joseph Middleton performing the selection of Granados' Tonadillas.
Insigilios Me mira por la noche un mojo que en cuanto me vi suspira si va calle abajo. Ay, qué tío más tardío, si así se pasa la vida y estoy de perdida. Si hoy también pasa y me mira y no se entusiasma, pues le suelto este saludo, adiós tu fantasma. Ay, qué tío más tardío, odian las enamoradas las rejas calladas. Y si vale, majo mío, que sigas hablando, porque hay cosas que contesto yo siempre cantando. Tra la 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 la. Por más que preguntes tonto, tra la 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 la, y me lo causas quebrando, ni yo te sale mi canto. La 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 la. Y si mal de majo mío que sigas hablando, porque hay cosas que contesto yo siempre cantando.
De Goya sabréis sin duda que fue un pintor sin igual, pero no que fue un gallardo y desenvuelto galán. Por su estudio desfilaron desde la Manola audaz hasta la dama tapada, quien Goya hizo inmortal. Era ingenioso y valiente hasta la temeridad, mezcla de señor y majo, de torero y militar. En fin, era Goya, y Goya se hizo Dios uno y no más. Caballero cual nadie, amador, tierno y audaz. Y lo que ocurrió a aquel hombre, ahora mismo escuchar vais. Que los hombres de estos tiempos oigan, comparen y en paz. A una dama, gran señora y muy famosa beldad, allá junto al Manzanares enseñó la Goya mar. Cierta mañana de julio de limpidez estival, Goya y la dama del cuento dialogaban a la par. Él, que en todo era artista, mirábala con afán. en ese traje sin traje único que Dios nos da. Rompen de pronto el silencio tres golpes que de fuera dan y una voz que dice firme: abrid a quien no esperáis. Y antes de que la sorpresa permitiera razonar, cedió al empuje la puerta y un hombre asomó la faz. Solo pudo la cabeza la hermosa dama tapar y el resto de sus encantos quedaron en libertad. Goyo interpuso su cuerpo entre ella y su gavilán, que era marido celoso, como ya se supondrá. ¿Qué queréis?, pregunta Goya. La hembra que me arrebatáis, ¿es vuestra?, el pintor replica. La ley me la dio por tal. Si es vuestra, le arguye Goya. Bien hacéis si la buscáis, mas ved que la hembra que escucha no ha sido vuestra jamás. Lo veré, dice el celoso, no el rostro, dice el galán, que si es vuestra en viendo el cuerpo sabréis si es la que buscáis. Y así fue que el gran celoso dio una vuelta y otra más en torno a aquel desnudo de belleza excepcional. Hasta que no hallando nada que le hiciese sospechar, saludó y al salir dijo: me equivoqué, perdonad. Y así se salvó la dama de aquel marido tenaz que nunca supo cual Goya de la belleza gozar. Porque hay maridos que tienen cerca de sí una beldad y no saben detallarla si por ella preguntáis. Eso hizo Goya, aquel Goya majo, artista y militar, que a los hombres dominaba y a las hembras mucho más. Yo no olvidaré en vida la Goya, la imagen gallarda y querida. No hay en la vida, oh señora, que a Goya no eche divina sabrá. Si yo hallara que me amara como él me ama, no hay
BBC New Generation artist Clara Muriz performing Granados' Tornadillas, and she was joined by Joseph Middleton on the piano and Nicholas Daniel on the cor anglais. And you can actually see a film of that song, Maja Dolorosa, up on the BBC New Generation Artists webpage. That's at bbc.co.uk/radio3/NGA, where you can also find out more about Clara and all of our wonderful artists. I'll be back on Sunday at 5 o'clock with a programme featuring the New York-based string quartet, the Escher Quartet, who'll be performing Webern and Elgar. I hope you can join me then.
New Generation Artists was presented by Clemency Burton-Hill. Well, in a few minutes this evening at 10:45, the essay this week on aspects of Percy Grainger, the Australian-born but much-travelled Grainger, who in 1908 was in Dartmouth noting down sea shanties. Well, this particular shanty, Grainger said, was supposed to be sung by a woman standing on the quay to her sailor lover, Shallow Brown, as his ship weighed anchor. But in Grainger's arrangement, it becomes something rather different, a song of men among men. My setting aims, he said, to convey a suggestion of the wafted, wind-borne, surging sounds heard at sea. Well, the men here, John Shirley Quirk with the Ambrosian Singers and the instrumentalists, the English Chamber Orchestra, conducted by Benjamin Britten.
Oh!
one of Percy Grainger's most powerful settings, shallow brown.